So we're not quite at, but nearly at the end of the month of December. It's been a full month. Not quite sure how that happened, that we're here already. We've had so much going on here at the congregation, particularly all of the Hanukkah celebrations and such. But in the midst of it, a few weeks ago, we held the first of the next set of Bar and Bat Mitzvah workshops. How many of you who are parents in this congregation or students in the congregation remember going to a Bar Bat Mitzvah workshop? Yeah, all kinds of exciting stuff. Great things that happen. We tell the students all kinds of wonderful things. They do all kinds of activities that really help them begin that preparation of becoming Bar Bat Mitzvah. In particular, I teach them something that I learned from my first mentor, Rabbi Eric Gervis, that bar or bat mitzvah, which we usually translate as son or daughter, as child of the commandments, right? As child of responsibility. Child of responsibility sounds a little better than child of the commandments, right? So I asked the kids, right, sixth graders, are there things that they're allowed to do now as, you know, big old 12-year-olds, that they weren't allowed to do when they were 4 or 5 years old. Right? And they say, yes, of course, they can stay up later. They watch different videos. They're allowed to use knives, or we watch those, or cook in the stove, or go out with friends. Many of them, won't surprise you to hear, have a phone, right? And I ask them, why are you allowed to do those things now when you weren't when you were a little kid? We're older, we're more mature, we're wiser, our parents trust us a little more, we're more responsible. Ah, there's that word. Then, not wanting to cause any trouble, I ask them if there are things that they're not allowed to do now in that they're 12, but they think in another 3 or 4 or 5 years, they will be allowed to do. You know what the number one answer is? Drive, exactly right. That's their first answer almost always. Sometimes they'll say vote. We like those. We keep an eye on them. Sometimes they say alcohol. We keep an eye on them too. Stay out later, go out with their friends, drive places by themselves, da 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 da. Right? Ask them why can't they do those things yet? They have to be older, a little wiser. The parents trust them a little more responsible. So they get the notion that we grow in responsibility and that becoming bar bat mitzvah as a child of the commandments is becoming a child of responsibility, a young adult in the eyes of the Jewish community, responsible for how they do what they do with all of the 613 commandments that we spend all of this time teaching them about. So this idea of responsibility, right, this idea of responsibility is so important to them. We see actually the notion of responsibility in our Torah portion this week. Our parsha is called Vayigash. We are reading the story of Joseph, and yes, this is the Calypso number if you're following along by the Broadway musical. I'll sing it another time, right? Joseph had been sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt. He rises from prison, eventually makes his way to becoming prime minister of the land of Egypt, thanks to his interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams. In fact, he's done such a good job interpreting Pharaoh's dreams about the years of feast and the years of famine and rationing the food and keeping all of the food that had been grown, that when famine inflicted the entire area, people from all of the nations all around came to Egypt to procure food. Joseph's brothers come as well, not recognizing him, and they come to beg for food. Joseph agrees to give them food, but only on the condition that if they come back again, they must bring with them their littlest brother, Benjamin, who was Joseph's favorite brother. When the brothers' food runs out in Canaan once again, they do return, and they bring Benjamin with them, but they have to convince their father to let them bring Benjamin, the young one, with them. Once again, they come before Joseph, they beg for food, he grants them food, but he has his servant place a goblet in Benjamin's sack of food. When the brothers prepare to leave, Joseph catches Benjamin stealing the goblet. He tells the other brothers they can leave if they'll leave Benjamin with him. This is his test to see if the brothers have changed. Judah steps forward and declares, "We cannot do this." He says, "Ki avdecha arav etana'ar. I have made myself responsible for this boy to my father." And Judah says, "If we return without him, it'll literally kill our dad." So Judah says, "Let the boy go and take me instead. So it is this act of selflessness, this act of responsibility that convinces Joseph that his brothers had changed. So Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, he makes up with them, and eventually the whole family is reunited. Well, Rabbi Jack Reamer points out that the key word is arav, right? Meaning to be, in this instance, to be responsible. In fact, it is from this story, this verse of Torah, that the rabbis of the Talmud create the principle, Kol Yisrael Aravim, Arav, Aravim, plural form, Kol Yisrael Aravim Zelazah. All members of the Jewish community are responsible to and for one another. Kol Yisrael Aravim Zelazah. We are all responsible for one another. So I've been thinking about this in terms of what's happening with Israel now and the war with Hamas. Kol Yisrael Aravim Zelazah. We are all responsible for one another. But here we are in North America. What are our responsibilities in this war? I want to mention quickly three. First and foremost, we have a responsibility to the state of Israel. We have the responsibility to lend our support to that part of the Jewish community that lives there. I will tell you, everyone in the country there is in a state of shock and grief and trauma still. Everyone has a family member who was killed or knows someone who had a family member who was killed. Everyone knows someone with a family member who was taken hostage or knows someone who knows someone with a family member taken hostage. It's just not that big of a country, and everyone knows one another. I think that we have a responsibility to advocate as loudly and passionately as we can for the return of the hostages through prayer, through petitions, through raising awareness. These are our family members, and we are responsible for them. You'll see that tonight, well, maybe you can't see because it's under my tallit, that I'm wearing a blue ribbon. I saw some of you as well. These blue ribbons have become a symbol of the hostages taken by Hamas and our desire to have them returned. On the entrance table out in the lobby, as you make your way after services from here to the social hall for Oneg, if you'd like to take a blue ribbon and a pin, that you can wear it transferred from one item of clothing to another, or however as you may be see fit, as an outward sign, a demonstration of our responsibility to the hostages there. We have a responsibility as well to the well-being of Israelis, the tens of thousands of people who have been displaced from the northern communities and the southern communities, tens of thousands who've been called to service in the IDF. Again, everyone there is still traumatized and grieving. There are so many different ways to help. There are organizations that are helping folks who have had to leave their home and have moved to one place or another. There are organizations who are sending volunteers down to the farms near Gaza that had to be abandoned so that food could still be harvested. My cousins in Israel have been collecting funds. They've been buying food and toys for kids who have been taken out of their homes. They've been buying coffee gift cards for Aroma, which is the big Israeli chain like Starbucks here, but they're coffee gift cards for IDF soldiers. All to help as part of our responsibility of helping Israelis. It's our responsibility as well to know as much as we can, to tell an honest and factual story about what is happening there, to be informed, not overwhelmed, but to know what is happening and to stay in touch with the community there. That's our first responsibility, to support those in the state of Israel. Our second responsibility, I believe, is to our values. We know, yes, Israel has to fight this war. They cannot live with a terrorist organization that will come across and kill them. But how they fight the war matters. Now, the IDF, we know, historically prides itself on being the most moral army in the world. There's a principle called Tohar HaNeshech, the purity of arms, that governs for every Israeli soldier, and it is drilled into them when and how they can use their weapons. We know that in previous conflicts that the IDF does something called roof knocking. They drop a dud bomb, not a live bomb, on the roof of a building, giving that building 15 minutes warning to get out, to go before the real bombs start falling. They have made hundreds of thousands of phone calls, of cell phones. I guess it's Israeli technology. They know everybody's number. But being able to send that, they've dropped hundreds of thousands of leaflets directing people for where to go. There has been that in this war as well. They even published a map of South Gaza with zones and where to be and where not to be, as if they were telegraphing their intentions to those who they were coming to get. Humanitarian corridors and hours and such. And yet, despite this, we know there has been a horrific amount of devastation and a horrific number of civilian deaths. I do believe Israel is not targeting civilians. It is not indiscriminately bombing buildings, but we worry about how this war is going and we grieve for the loss of life. Our responsibility is also to our values, to the notion of pikuach nefesh, the safeguarding of life, and selam Elohim. There's an image of God in each and every person, Israeli, Palestinian, Jew, Christian, Muslim, every creature of God. Right? Earlier last week, there was a letter that was released by a number of young adults in our Jewish community, Reform Jews who grew up at congregations around the country, products of our camping movement and our programs, who called upon the Union for Reform Judaism to stand with those calling now for a ceasefire. Right, saying the URJ, Reform Judaism, has taught us these values. We need to stand up for them. Now, I agree in part with these folks, these young adults, and a couple of them my students from previous congregations. I think that they are 100% right in terms of making sure that our values are represented. They drew different conclusions than I would. They called for an immediate ceasefire, which frankly, I don't think is the best enactment of our values right now, because it allows Hamas to continue to pose a threat both to Israelis and to Palestinians. And some of the signatories also used language of colonization or genocide or apartheid or anti-Zionism. I do not think they are right about those. I'm happy to chat later. We'll do another learning session about that and such. I don't think those are the right understandings of those terms. I think that too easily that ignores history and facts. So I think their comprehension and their conclusion may be a little off, but their instinct to focus on our values is correct. We must find a way to be responsible to our values and to the land of the state of Israel. Our third responsibility comes from actually conversations that I've been having with a different group of our students, not our Bar Bat Mitzvah students, but our confirmants, our confirmation class. We're just about done with our unit on theology. We exposed them to six different ways of thinking about God, right? Six different theologies, from the theism of the Bible to religious humanism and everything in between. Actually, in our Torah portion this week, you see an example of it. Joseph tells his brother, when he reveals himself to them, he says to them, "Please don't be worried that you sold me into slavery, for this was all part of God's plan so that I could be here now to provide food for you." I won't quiz our confirmants who are here on which theology that is, but they know that it's theism, that it's the God of the Bible, large and in charge of everything. Not necessarily what most of us might believe all the time these days, but there's a limited form of theism that I do think informs our third responsibility. In limited theism, God is limited in power by human choice, by free will, by the choices that we make. And that means that we human beings have a power, actually have a responsibility, to make a difference in this world. We must be God's partner in the act of tikkun olam, in repairing the world. This is our third responsibility. In whatever way we can, in whatever way we feel appropriate and impactful, wearing a ribbon, raising funds, sending goods, writing letters, making phone calls, whatever it is that we feel we can do, we partner with God to make our world better. Kol Yisrael, Aravim Zel Azeh, we are all responsible to and for one another. In this difficult time for the Jewish people, we are responsible to support the Jewish community in the land of Israel. We are responsible to live our values and to call for Israel to do the same. We are responsible to be partners with God in making our world a better place. On this Shabbat, we hope and pray that we may be like our ancestor Judah and strive always to fulfill our responsibilities. Ken Yehi Ratzon, may this be God's will. And together we say, Amen.